Today, I want to talk about the number one joy killer. Okay? We're supposed to be Christians, supposed to be excited, supposed to count it all joy, as James said. If you know me before this and know me after this, I'm going to always be like this. So, I know how it is to always be full of joy no matter what you go through. But when the number one joy killer I want to talk about today, the ever-present peace robber that robs you of your peace, the one thing that if not controlled and conquered will cause you to have stress and cause physical harm, not only to your body, but it will stop and stunt your spiritual growth in the Lord. The one thing I'm talking about is winning the war on worrying. Just worrying. Worrying about this, worrying about that, worrying about how I'm going to make it through the rest of the month and I only got 2 days left to go. Worrying about your kids. You know, you dressed them up. Yes, they went off to school, but the way things are going on nowadays, are they going to come back home? Dads, miss out that promotion. Just got the word that you might not get that next promotion or you might lose that job, and how are you going to tell your wife? Whatever you're worrying about. We're going to learn something in today's word. God's word is going to give us the weapons to win this war on worrying. Now, the definition of worrying is allowing one's mind to dwell on the worst case scenario that you could come up with, Sometimes we make things bigger than what they are. And when we face those things with fear, we realize they ain't nothing at all. But that's what worrying do to you. It creates mental stress. It creates anxiety. You're overwhelmed and concerned about something that you're not supposed to be worrying about, because according to God, we're not supposed to be worrying about anything at all. Worrying, number one joy killer. The number one thing that separates us from God besides our sin. Because if you allow worry to conquer you instead of you conquering it, it'll replace your "wow is he" with "woe is me." It'll take away your faith and replace with all kinds of fears that will take over your mind. It'll cause you to back up a couple steps instead of stand forward in faith in God and say, "Devil, what's up? That's all you got?" Man, we kids of the kingdom. Ain't no way we supposed to back down. When you got that full armor of God, only things exposed is your back. So you have to charge in the name of Jesus. There's no retreat when you said yes to Jesus. None. But worry will turn the strongest warrior into the whiniest wimp. That one word that preachers don't talk about that much, but that we all go through. So, let me share with you some of my examples, some things I worry about. I'll let you know I'm human. I'll go through the same thing. But when I'm sharing with you today, I have to go to that right away so that worry won't conquer me and I conquer it. Now, when you see all this sweat, it's not sweat. It's an anointing. All right, Holy Spirit is splashing me with water, splashing me with all that love. And the angels is just fanning and making sure I can, you know, turn the AC on for me. That's just how I'm made. Okay? So I usually have a rag, but I lost it sweating. But anyway, I can see my wife. He lost another one of my face towels. But anyway. Thank you for your grace, honey. Worrying. What is that you're worrying about? Okay, so what I want to do is share my example, to be open with you, to give you a copy of my skeleton key to my skeleton closet. I'm about to be open. As a church planner, one thing you're worrying about is it going to be successful? Are you going to have enough people? Are you going to have enough finances, the equipment, the material that you need? Are you planted in the right place? Or are you doing it to please people? Or are you doing it to be obedient to God? See, that war and worrying, it takes you back and forth. And the more you go back and forth about something, the more it gives the room for the devil to dance. Nah, 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 nah. I got you off track. You got to understand the particular voices that you're listening to. Me and my wife was on vacation. And usually when we're on vacation, I don't answer the phone. I scream. Whoever's calling and texting, I told them I was on vacation. They had no bent. No. This one time, there's one of my core members text me. Said, Carly, give me a call. And they knew where I was at, and this had to be really important for her to text me. So when I answered that call, it was one of those, whoa. Something that I needed to hear, so I'll put it close to my ear. Before I went on vacation, I shared with my core team that I had a conversation with somebody that they think we should wait instead of launching. Well, opening the church, because I'd be careful the terminology I'd use with unbelievers. If I say launch, what are you launching? So I have to say opening a church. So they want us to postpone our opening for 4 more months. And be honest with you, I was considering doing that. So I prayed and approached. My team would tell you, I pray and approach. I pray and approach. They come with me with something. Did you pray and then approach? Pray and approach, pray and approach. So I told my core team members what was going on. I told the husband of his wife. Okay, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, okay. Then I got a text from the wife of that husband. You know that Peter in the Bible, the one that you need to, that fire you up and that just hears the word of God and just convict you like, yep, that's God. I got that from her and realized you're right. Don't worry about 9/9/18, the day we open it. God got that. God got that. So I have to stop dwelling on the difficult things that would not happen, but allow what God is going to happen for us. God works on faith. That's the only thing that gets him off his throne. And from the things that we've been looking at so far, looking back, he has set things up just for us to open that day. What about you? What's some of the things you're worried about right now? Some of the things that you're so worried about that you probably can't even concentrate on this message right now because you know you got to deal with it when you leave here. What we're going to share with today is give you weapons so you can always win the war and worrying. So let me go to this message. So let's see what the Bible has for us. If you go open your Bibles or your apps, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. And it reads, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Oh, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. The title of today's message is, Don't Worry, God Got You. Don't worry, God got you. Now, just do a little background on the six verses that I just read is, the author of this epistle or letter or book is the Apostle Paul. Now, Apostle Paul has written over half of the New Testament today. Now, before Paul, his name was Saul. He was the type of person that would persecute the church. that will pursue any Christian in those days, put him in chains and bring him back to Jerusalem so they could be crucified until he had that close encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. That's when God touched and turned his heart towards him and changed his perspective on the very thing he's doing and used him to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to a Gentiles such as us. Has anybody ever had a close encounter with Jesus Christ that's just changed your mind forever? That just touched your heart in a way that you know was nobody but Jesus Christ? That turned it towards to him and gave you a different perspective on the same thing that you was worrying about, that you was worshiping God about, because you know he's going to do something for you. Man, when God is about to use you to do a great thing, and God used from Saul to Paul to use him to do a great thing to the point we're still talking about him today. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian church in Philippi, a church he started while on his second mission trip after taking the gospel to Europe for the first time. Paul was a church planner. Paul was just like me. Paul was just like your Pastor Tony. Sent out to start churches where there is no churches, so people to gather to come and hear the word of God on a weekly basis. So every time I get a little worried or discouraged, guess who I read about? Paul. He done it before. Many times. But this is the time that this was one of his first churches that he's planted in Philippi. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter from a Roman prison. Now, here's Paul telling us, starting off in his verses, that always be full of joy. I say it again, rejoice. And he clink, 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 clink. He in a prison. How can you be full of joy in a prison? But this was his heart. I am so glad God didn't tell Paul to have us to tell us to be happy. Because there's a difference between happy and joy. Happy depends on the things that's happening outside of you. Is everything going all right? The way you want it. Everything perfect. You're happy then. But joy that happens from the inside out. Have you ever seen somebody just go through some of the craziest thing, and you wondering how come they still smiling? They found out the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is outside in. Joy is from the inside out. When you see somebody go through that and they see them go through some chaotic stuff, and they still smiling and still in stride, ask them if they know Jesus. Ask them if they read Philippians 4:4-9. It's something about always being full of joy in the Lord. Now, the theme of this letter is joy. Stand full of joy so you can experience God's peace. Now, the words joys and rejoicings are used 18 times in this letter. 18 times. Don't you think God was using Paul to let us know, even here today, to always stay joyful, no matter what we go through? Use James, call it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. Sometimes I think God put us in those situations so we could trust him no matter what we go through. He needs the glory, not us. Now, I'm going to go ahead and just dive in this text a little bit, chop it up just a little bit, and we're going to start off from verse 4 to 5. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considered in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Paul is telling the Philippian church, no matter what they go through, there is joy and rejoicing in Jesus. Hang on to Jesus no matter what crazy thing life throws at you. He's been through it before. He has conquered it. That's the only person, only God that will get us through this everyday life. The more I read and learn about Jesus, I don't see how people could get through life without him. Guard your joy in your heart and protect the peace in your mind that he's given you. but you have to be others' covering. Have a joyful spirit when encouraging and helping and serving others. Now, that's because you're going through things, that don't mean we can't stop being a Christian. Doesn't stop that we can't help somebody when God puts somebody in front of you on purpose that needs help. You can't stop. You have to have that servant heart no matter what you're going through. We are the light of the world. No matter what it looked dark back down there. Because if you follow Jesus Christ and once you pray to him about this and that and you got up and say amen, it's taken care of. If you throw it to the cross, don't pick it back up and take it with you. Kick it, man, you kick it with JC. Man, we got to have some Christian swagger, man. You got to smile. Show your Christian ID. Show your light. And the reason I want to share scripture in Matthew 5, 14, 6 that says that very thing. Here's Jesus, part of Sermon on the Mount. He said, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Show your light. Let everyone see that you are considered in all that you do, no matter what you're going through. You get them and let God get you. Don't worry, God got you. And remember, Jesus is coming back to make things all better. First thing, last thing Paul said in that passage is, remember, Jesus is coming soon. So don't dwell on the everyday things. Like this is final, that this is it. No. If you ever read the book of Revelations, man, at the end, we win. We win. So don't give up in the middle of the fight. Don't stop at halftime. Man, you finish that. Go to the finish line. Don't quit on Jesus, because I'm telling you, he won't quit on you. Don't worry. God got you. And this is some of the promises that God got us about in the book of Revelations. And I'm going to read verses 21, 1 to 7 real quick to let you know how beautiful things is going to be. Here is John, the one Jesus loved, is stranded on the islands of Patmos. Because his love for Jesus Christ, he's spreading the good news. Back in those days, man, you say Jesus, you're going to jail. You confess you're a Christian, you're going to the Colosseum, and you're going to be a center of attraction. 9 times, 9 times, you ain't going to make it. That's how strong our faith has to be today. But this is what the vision that Jesus gave him, how things are going to be about the new Jerusalem. He said, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth has disappeared. And the sea was also gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God of heaven like a beautiful bride dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from the eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And I wish they would have put in there, no more worrying. All these things are gone forever. Don't trip on the things that's not going to be here forever. Trust your God enough to let him know that I'm with you, that everything is going to be all right despite what you're going through. I'm with you, Lord, because I feel you in my heart, you're with me. And the one sitting on the throne said this. this is God talking. Look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I'm telling you is trustworthy and true. Oh, man. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of water of life. And all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. What an awesome thing, huh? What a reason not to worry. Not to trip on the everyday life right now because of the promises of what's coming later. Come on, somebody. We got something to look for. The one thing Jesus gives us is hope. And while he gives us hope, we're supposed to give other people hope while we're here. And as a 20-year Navy guy, we use a lot of acronyms in the Navy. And I use hope as helping other people every day. And that's what we should be doing. Because the promises given in us, we should be helping other people every day, giving them hope with just a simple nod. Good morning. Hey, I like your shoes. Hey, can I pray for you? Man, I'm short 50 cents on this. I got you. Dinner on me. Well, you know, man, why you do this? I'm glad you asked. I'm a Christian. And the Lord, it's just so many ways to share the good news. Verse 6 and 7. Paul is commanding us not to worry about anything. He said, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. I want y'all to repeat after me and say, don't worry about anything. Man, you know I'm going to get you again, right? I'm serious. I mean, what we learning today, God is using Paul to tell me, to tell y'all that he don't want y'all to worry about anything from this point on. I mean, you got to say this like, Lord, I hear you, and you got to say it loud enough to tell yourself, I am not worrying about anything no more because God got me. One more time, say this, don't worry about anything.
Don't worry about anything.
All right, I'm convinced this time. I'm convinced. Amen. Lord, okay, you too? All right. Amen. So, don't worry about anything. Now, Brandon, we're going to go to our bulletin. If you look in your bulletins, there's some points that we're going to go over. These are the weapons that our God is wanting to give you to win your war on worrying from this point on. And please, don't keep this good teaching to yourself. Make a copy of this bulletin and give it to your family and your friends and even your enemies, because you're going to tell your enemy, I'm tired of worrying about you, and I ain't worrying about you no more. And don't forget to sign it and date it. And if you can't give it to in person, find an address, put it in the mail. Amen? Amen? Enough! No more worrying. It's time to, because worrying take your worshiping time away. Okay? Let's do this. Okay, the first point is this. You know, God provided us with weapons for winning the war on worrying so we can experience his peace. Now, the first thing that God wants you to do is not to worry about anything, but pray about everything. And prayer is just talking to God. Any way you know how. Whatever mood you're in, how you're feeling, God wants to hear about you, hear from you when you start to worry about this thing that you had no business worrying about. It's okay to tell on yourself in front of God. And one thing about a conversation of God, when you're talking to God and praying to God, guess what he doesn't do? He doesn't tell anybody what y'all talked about. You could tell him anything. You could pray to him about everything. And he won't tell nobody nothing what you and him talk about. What if he just want to hear from his little girl? What if he want to hear from the apple of his eye? His son's in here. He's a dad. He's a heavenly father. He just want to hear from his children. He know what's going on. He just want to know if you want to talk to him about it. Like us as parents that have kids, we already know what's going on because the school already called us. We just want to see if you're going to talk to us. Tell us the truth. Integrity check. Hey, how was school today? It was okay, Dad. Got anything to tell me? No? Mm-hmm. Okay, Lord. Just pray and approach. Pray, you got to pray to him how to handle your king. You know what I'm saying? He just lied to me. I told him all of you. But anyway, Yeshua, son. Yeshua, daughter. Talk to him. He created an atmosphere where you could just come to him about anything. Tell him what you need. Talking to God, praying to him. And while you're in this conversation, tell him what you need. Tell him what you need or who you need to stop you from worrying. Lord, I'm worried about my son because of this situation. But if you put your hand in this situation for this thing that we need to teach him a lesson or give him a hallelujah, whatever you worry about, what is it that you need from God not to worry about that no longer? That's who he wants to hear from. That's who you need to talk about. He the only one to go and fix your whole situation. He the only one to get out of the throne and go, talk to him. And while you're talking to him, tell him exactly what you need from your heart. Amen? I saw you, Brandon. Thought I was going. I'm good. Number three, thank God for what he's already done. Have you ever been in the point in your life when you just stop and you look back and you notice all the things God has done for you up to this point? And you realize he was there all the time. And you thank him for those times that he done before. And if he done it before, he's going to do it right now, and he's going to do it again. Because he's a God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So just thank him for what he's already done. And that was one of the things that I had to realize on my vacation when I got this convicting voice from God through our core team member. Look what God has already done. Everything is lined up to open up September 9th, 2018. And guess when we open it up? September 9th, 2018. We're going to trust God. Now, after you stop worrying, after you pray to God about everything, tell him what you need, thank him what's already done, then and only then can you experience his peace. God wants you to get things off your mind, off your heart, off your chest, and throw it on his lap. As you start praying to him, he's going to pick you up and put you on his lap while he's sitting on his throne like a father does. What is it, son? What is it, daughter? Tell me what you need. I got you. Don't worry. God got you. Amen? And then after you experience God's peace, then God is telling you to think about certain things. And here it says, one final thing. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. This is Paul talking. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And keep putting into practice all you learned from me and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then God's peace will be with you. Listen, I'm telling you, the only thing I think that's worthy of praise is Jesus Christ, is God himself. Paul is telling us that we should be thinking about God, his characteristics and goodness to keep us from worrying. Once you give to God what you're worried about, you got to protect that. And how can you protect your mind? By thinking about the goodness of God, what he's done for you, all the characteristics of God, his mercy, his grace, and peace. If he got you before, he's going to get you again. God is saying, just don't worry. I got you. Now, in closing, in these six short verses, God has used Paul to teach us some valuable principles so that we don't have to worry about anything, no matter what we are going through from this point on. Allowing us to always be full of joy in our Lord Jesus Christ so we can experience the peace that God has in store for you and me which is his peace, that exceeds beyond our understanding forevermore. And here are six principles that I want you to take home with you. Always be full of joy in Jesus. Always be full of joy in Jesus. The joy of Jesus will keep you from falling to pieces. The joy of Jesus will keep you from falling to pieces. I have seen it happen. Don't worry about a thing, anything. I don't care what it looked like, how much it weighed, how much you eat. Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Talk to God about everything. Tell him what you need while you're in that conversation. Thank him for what he's already done. He likes that. He loved that. Thanks, Dad. Oh, you're welcome, son. Oh, you know you're my baby girl. Yeah? He loves that. And last one. Now, four, think about who and what is excellent, worthy of praise, and that is God, and ponder on the great and glorious things about God. Five, last one. Let you and I put into practice what Paul has taught us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, so we can spread the joy of Jesus in our circle of influence. Amen? Because if they see you smiling all the time, you know, skipping the loo, my darling, because you got a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they just saw you go through something or get the same bad news as you did, and you went, God got this. What do you want me to learn from this? I got to keep going. God got this. He know what's going to happen. He just want to know how I'm going to act. And they're going to look at you like, did you just hear this? Didn't you get the same email I got? Then why are you still smiling? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about my Lord Jesus. A lot of ways to share the gospel. So if you see somebody go through some crazy stuff and they still smiling, ask them if they're a Christian. 9 times out of 10, they usually say yes. Oh, yeah. One final thing, everyone. Don't worry. God got you. Amen? I just want to thank you very much for allowing me to share this good word with you guys. And it preached to me first before it preached to you guys, and it will for the rest of my life. So let me close in prayer real quick before I call Tony up. Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to share your word to brothers and sisters that I haven't met or met for the first time. Brothers and sisters, it's been almost a year since I've seen them. First time preaching in this church. But your word, Lord, your word about not worrying is something that we all need. We want to trust you from this point on. We want to talk to you. We want to tell you what we need. We want to thank you for what you already done. And then we know, as in your word, after we've done that, after we have talked, tell, and think, and then and only then we will get your peace that will guard the joys in our heart and guard the pieces in our mind. Because, Lord, your joy will keep us from going to pieces. We love you, Lord. Let us be that light that you want us to be once we leave here. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.